All right. God is good. Amen. All right. Awesome. Hey, just to piggyback on the announcement, man, whenever we do any kind of VBS type of event, number one, it's a blessing. You know, sometimes I think as parents, we think that there's this pressure, and yes, Proverbs 22:6 is a commandment to you to teach your child in the way of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's our responsibility as parents. The church is here to come alongside, to equip, to provide as a supplement. But man, God will move and do some amazing things when we're having times of worship or we're singing and dancing. And if it's not your jam, I get it, right? Some of us, like, we're too cool to dance. Like, no matter what you do, no matter how awesome, if I start doing all kinds of dance moves right here in front of you, you won't dance. You're just like, I'm too cool. I don't do that. Even though, like, you'll start tapping your foot. You start clapping your hand a little bit. It's okay. You know what? Just sign your kids up. We'll bring people with energy to help do that. Does that make sense? The main thing is, it's fun. There's a lot of food, activity. God is at the center of it. We're here to glorify and worship him. And so, you know, the testimony and what Stephen was talking about is, you know, Jasmine, when she was going to VBS, I think the one thing she would come home and she would say, praise God, little five-year-old girl all around the house, praise God. Everybody was like, what are you talking about? Because we weren't in church, right? That's a little bit of our testimony. And God used her, right, to really bring some conviction upon him. The true story, if my brother tells you, is he was hungover on a Sunday morning. True story, we haven't always been saved, guys. Jesus loves all of us, right? Even when you've drank too much. And my brother tells her, hey, baby, just pray for me. She gets on the bed, stands over him, and she says, why don't you get up and go to church so I don't have to pray for you? A five-year-old. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. He says, part of me is like, I was ready. What the heck? Where's my belt? But you know what happened? That he got so convicted, because God is still moving, right? That he got up and he went to church. And you know what happened there? The Holy Spirit got a hold of him. And then he had this knucklehead brother that thought he had it all together and his whole life planned out or whatever, that was suffering in silence, that was in absolute denial about him needing God. And he asked me for 2 years to go to church with him. And I said, no, 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 no. And finally, I told you guys this, he gave me an ultimatum. He says, I've been asking you for 2 years to come to church. I'm getting baptized on Sunday, January 3rd of 2010. Now, who gets baptized on January 3rd of 2020 when it's freezing cold? And he tells me, I've been asking you for 2 years. If you never come, this time not asking you. You're my real brother, and I need you to go. And I was like, man, well, those are like fighting words, mother. Like, but I knew it was serious, and I said, of course. If it means that much to you, of course I'm going to be there. And then you know what happened? I heard his testimony, and the Holy Spirit got me in a headlock like you don't even know. Right? And then sure enough, reluctantly fighting, kicking, 7 weeks later, I got saved. Right? And so that's how God works, through childlike faith. Right? So we don't know what's going to happen at VBS, but you know what God calls us to do? He calls us to be obedient. And he calls us to show up. So parents, sign up. Grandparents, sign your kids up. It's a great time to, you know, sometimes the other thing too is whenever you tell people, hey, let's go to church, the first thing there's like, in their head, it's like, red alert, brr, 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 brr. Like, because the enemy is a liar. And the first thing that people will say, like, because why? They're not filled with the Spirit yet, guys. Just like when my brother invited me time and time again, I wasn't filled with the Spirit. I wasn't ready for it. But if somebody invites me to VBS to hang out and to talk and fellowship and actually get to look behind the curtain and say, like, hey, these people are kind of, they're not crazy. You know, they love Jesus, but it looks like they love each other too. Do you know what I mean? That's different. So it's a great opportunity to invite your friends and family, right? You don't know what God is going to do. And here's the reality of it. You're here because somebody invited you. Amen. So they may say no, yes, and they may say no. I mean, we just have to be obedient to the call and just say, go do the invitation. Let God do the rest of it. Okay. So sign up in the back. It's going to be a great time. I may or may not sing or dance. I don't have the dance moves. I might have them. But you'll know if you show up. Amen. All right, I hope you guys had a blessed week. God is good. The title of today's sermon is called Plans Diverted. Plans Diverted. We're going to be spending some time in Acts chapter 16, and we're going to be learning from Paul and his journey. Before we do that, how many of you guys have ever been somewhere? I know you have your phone now, and your phone gives you all kinds of directions, but sometimes on your phone, your app, the streets are closed, and you're like going through, and it's like, oh, really? And then you end up on these crazy diverts, and you get diverted somewhere else. And does that make you happy, or does that make you kind of frustrated? Makes you frustrated, huh? Like just yesterday, 2 days ago, we're in Santa Cruz, and I was following the app, and I was like literally following it on left, left, left. And I was like, we ended up in the same spot. Like, I was like, what the heck happened? Or we were driving back home, and literally the bumper-to-bumper traffic. So Stephanie knows this. Whenever there's an opportunity to get off the freeway, I'm going to get off the freeway. Because I don't care if it might take me, I might not even save any time. But I'm driving through the neighborhood. So I'm, oh, look at that. Look over here. This time I actually did save us 3 minutes. But we drove through all kinds of little small towns that I would have ever otherwise not even have ever thought of going there. So I got some cool ideas for the men's ministry, a little retreat. Like, that was, it was nice. But sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we're on our way and we think that you think you have a final destination, but the road is closed. Or an accident happens. Or you're delayed. And then your plans that you thought, right, you have this destination of where you think your life is going to go, and your plans, your whole life set out in front of you. But God has another plan. When your plans are diverted is what we're going to be focusing on, because that is a decision point. God is bringing you to a place because, again, all of us have plans and hopes and dreams of how we thought things were going to go. And then we come to find out that life will throw us a huge curveball. And the reality of it is, if we are honest and if we believe what this book says, that God is sovereign and that God is in control, that God himself is the one who diverts your plan. And sometimes if you've been on the journey and it's a journey where you get to a point and the door closes and you have, it has one of those things where I call it, you get to a place where it's like, I didn't think that it was going to be like this. I didn't think that this is where I was going to end up. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you're on the journey of life and the door closes and it's the wound of your heart, it's the wound of your soul. Amen? But there's good news, brothers and sisters, because the God that we know, the God that we serve, he is sovereign and he is good. And we have to trust him that when he diverts your plan, it's for your good. Amen? So let's get into the word. Acts 16. We're going to read the first 15 verses there. And then we're going to spend some time breaking it down together. Acts 16. You can open your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, whose father was a Greek. To the believers at Lystra and Iconium, they spoke well of him. And Paul wanted to take him along the journey. So he circumcised him, because the Jews who lived there in that area, they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. So let's pause there. So this, as you guys know, I love maps and I love the context. We're going to read some more, but I want to kind of break this down to you guys, because it's important. Let's go ahead and throw that first map up on the screen, Stephen. All right, this is known as Paul's second missionary trip. He took three of them all together. And so where he starts over here in Judea and Jerusalem. They go up to Antioch, right, which is the very first church or reference in the Bible to the word Christian is actually referenced to the people that were here at this church. The church is at Antioch. Is the very first place where people are called Christians. That's pretty cool, right? Yeah, it is. You guys are nerds just like me. Okay, so he's moving on, and he's encouraging people. He's already been to Tarsus and Derbe, and Lystra and Iconium is where Timothy joins Paul and Silas. And Timothy was what? Skilled, and he was learned. He was taught. You guys remember that? Now, the cool thing is nowadays that if you join the ministry team, you don't have to go through what Timothy went through, okay? I'm not going to say it. You guys know. You guys, we all read it together. We do have to go through a circumcision of the flesh, but not the kind that Timothy went, okay? That's a different conversation. So we're moving on, and we're going to pick up right here. So this is where he's going through all these places, and he's encouraging the churches, because this is his second missionary trip. What do you think he did on his first missionary trip? He established the churches, amen. Man, that church, that table in the back, paying attention, extra credit, I like it. So let's keep reading, because then we'll go back to the map, okay? So we'll pick up again in verse 6, and it says, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried again to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. During that night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia to help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, he got ready. He got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach them the gospel. And from Troas, we set out to the sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there on, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of that district of Macedonia. We stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went out to the city gate and river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to a woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the town of Thyatira named Lydia. And she was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. And if you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Amen? Deep breath. That's a lot, huh? Let's go back to the map. Because now we're on a different journey. We're on a different journey. This is, again, the second trip of, second of Paul's missionary journeys. Now, we're going to dive a little bit into the weeds, because if we notice it, you'll see that they are here at Lystra and Iconium. They start to travel north, and they want to actually, they have plans to go here, to northern Bithynia. But you'll notice that in the scripture, in verse 6 and 7, it says, they traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, but they had been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in the province of Asia. See, they had a plan. They wanted to go north into Asia. And the Holy Spirit, if you guys remember that, it says they had been kept from preaching in that province. They came to the border. They tried to enter north, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go north. Amen? And so the first fill in the blank for today's sermon is sometimes God will close good doors. Sometimes God will close good doors. Now, do you think the people that lived in this area in Bithynia, do you think that they would have benefited from the gospel? Do you think they would have benefited from hearing the good news of Jesus Christ? Yeah, amen. That's all of us, right? But it's interesting that the Holy Spirit stopped them from going north. The Holy Spirit kept them from going where they wanted to go. Now, sometimes in your life, you have a plan, like I said, and you have a plan that you're going through these different places, and then God will close a door on you. I don't know why I was thinking about this morning. For some reason, when I was younger, the doors would get closed on our hands. I don't know if the car doors were not safe. Do you ever remember like having the car door closed on your hand? A lot of you guys, that's terrible. I was washing the car, and I was like, man, this door is heavy. Imagine if my hand got stuck. I don't know why I was thinking that. It happens a lot more frequently. Maybe our parents were just like not paying attention. Like, maybe we're like helicopters, like, no, no. But back, what's that? I did, I know. Where's my mom at? She's in the back. I love her. No, but isn't it like interesting that sometimes the door will close on you and it's painful and it hurts. And so, yeah, that did happen to me one time. I know what you're talking about, on the Nova. And see, the reality of it is, though, sometimes God will cause a door to close, even if it's a good door. Like, have you ever pursued something where you thought you were, like, this is a good job, or this is a good thing happening, or a good friend, and then the door closes. And you're just like, what happened, God? Like, I'm even seeking you out. Now, again, brothers and sisters, this happens to believers as much as it happens to the non-believer. That make sense? That good things are going through, things are going your way, and then boom, door slaps, hits you right up on your nose. But God will close doors that you're not meant to walk through. Does that make sense? Sometimes you're walking through and you think that's a good door, and it might be it might be a relationship that you think is good. It might be a job that you think is good. But a lot of times, we're honest, we're not heading or we're not seeking His will. We're doing our will. And so God, because He's kind and He's loving, will close that door. And so we got to be very mindful, and when we're doing our plans, that it's not our plans, because we have all kinds of different plans, right? We have to trust in God's plan. Because there was an opportunity, of course there was a good opportunity, for them to go north. The Holy Spirit told them, no. And see, some of us, if we're honest, we need to be seeking out God first. And before we make a decision, because oftentimes you'll see it, you're like, oh, this, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this is going to happen. We're not seeking God out. That's the problem. It's our will being done, not God's will. And so we got to make sure that we are seeking God out in all of our decision making. Because sometimes, and here's the tough one, God's going to say no. Nobody says no to me, right? Nobody puts baby in the corner. Is that right? Nobody tells me what to do, right? Isn't the flesh, when somebody tells you no, how does it make you feel? Okay? Husbands, we get this a lot, right? Can we? No. Can we do? No. Kids, you get this a lot too, right? How does it feel? And sometimes too, Stephanie asks me and I say, no. No, I'm mad. I know. Pray for me, guys. Pray for me. I always, after every Sunday, you guys got to keep me in prayer. Sometimes I say things if you get me in trouble. But no, it doesn't feel good, right? Especially if you have like, how about if you had a plan and you had all kinds of thought into it, and we're going to do this and that, and you're all excited, and the other person's like, no, I don't want to do that. And then you're like, oh. At first you're mad though, right? At first you're like, right? Yeah? Or just me? Some of you, there's some honest, yes, thank you, sister, in the back. Yeah. And then later we're kind of sad and disappointed, yeah? But listen, at the end of the day, those are our plans, right? Sometimes we have these dreams and these hopes of how we think things are going to go. But man, we need to make sure that we're talking to who? The God of the universe. Listen, Jesus is very, he gives us some very clear instructions that he asks us when we pray. He says, this is how you should pray. Not that, what? Our will be done, but that his will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. And so we have to make sure that we're in alignment with God's plans. And if it's not, then don't be surprised when the door hits you upside the head or your hand gets smashed. Because God is good and he's loving. He's going to say no sometimes, but it's for your own good. Like Lily's been trying to get me to teach her how to drive. But right now I have to tell her no. I want to live. I'm choosing life. Now, I am going to teach her, right? Yes. Ja'Kayla, you come with us, okay? But I've told her, too. I said, hey, whenever you're ready, take the class, go behind the thing, have somebody else. And I'm going to pay because, believe me, like, I love my daughter. She's my favorite daughter, my only daughter. But she sometimes doesn't listen. You know what I mean? And I know that when I give her instruction, she's going to take it differently from somebody else. Does that make sense? Because when I give that counsel, she's like, not as much as when my wife gives it, but it's a true story. But that's why we have to pay, guys, honestly, right? It depends on the relationship. So I am going to have to pay for her class now. She hasn't taken the classes yet. She hasn't done that. But in the due time, we're going to teach her. But right now, the answer is no. No, you can't drive. True story. One time, I let her try to move the Armada. I said, just put it in the driveway. Guys, she gunned it. Like, literally, I was like, dude, you're going to crash into the house. That's true. My mom was there. She gave me a talking to afterwards. So the answer is no. But in due time, the answer is yes. See, for us, God is a God that is kind. Maybe the answer is no right now. But then later it turns into a yes. And we'll see what happens in Paul's missionary trip as well. But for now, sometimes God closes doors that are good. And yeah, we don't like it. We get frustrated. We feel like we're rejected. But the reality of it is sometimes you have to think about, replace about it. Think about it the way that you think about it as a parent. Sometimes your rejection is what? Not because you hate your kids. Although I see some of you guys are like, no, Pastor, I do hate my kids. No, I know. You guys are good parents. You're not rejecting them. You're what? You're protecting them. Right? And so be mindful. God loves you. And so sometimes he needs to, what? Reject you to protect you. Amen? And so maybe it is the door that's closing. Right? Maybe it was a job opportunity. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was a dream that we had. And you know what? We have to trust in God. Trust him. He's a good father. Amen? Sometimes when you don't know what he's doing, you trust his character. That makes sense? So some doors, right, are also God's way of keeping us for settling. That makes sense? Sometimes, you know, it's like you think this is good enough when God has a better plan. That makes sense? Like how many of you have had an experience where one of your friends was like maybe dating somebody and we're like, hey, don't that, chale, bro, come on. Like, make sense? Because what? Because you're like, hey, I think God has a better plan for you. Now you're all theologian. Yeah. I've been praying for you. I think God has a better plan for you because he or she is terrible for you. Yes or no? Because sometimes they can't see it, right? They're all in love, like, he's the best. She's the prettiest. And we're like, man, I don't know. She's not that great. He's not that great. Yes or no? Sometimes God says no because he has something better. Amen? So he has to close that door down too. So we have to trust in God. The second point from today's message is that our frustration can become a revelation. Our frustration can become a revelation. And we see that in verses 8 and 9. In verses 8 and 9, it says, so they passed Mysia and went down to Troas, and during the night Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Amen? Paul had a dream. And listen, God will speak to us in different ways, right? God will speak to us in time of prayer, sometimes through a word of a brother and sister. But the frustration can become a revelation. Because when did the revelation happen? Did it happen before? Were they on their way to Bithynia and suddenly it's like, oh yeah, now I have this revelation. It happened after the door had closed. Now Paul could have been frustrated and said, oh, man, but I really want to go to Asia. I think that I'm called to do that and do any of that. He trusted God. And God met him at exactly where he was. Amen? So it was after the door had been closed that the new revelation came. How many of us have been through something, a situation, a circumstance where it was like a job or maybe a relationship or something happened and then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, thank God, right? That he had a better plan for me. Amen? Because you thought you knew, you had it all together, but God's plan is always better than your plan. And that's where the revelation comes, but it comes in trusting God. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, right? Because we're all up on our emotions and frustrated. We're trusting God for better things. And that's exactly what Paul was doing. Paul still went about his business. Do you see him like having a pity party for himself? That he was frustrated or mad? No. He said, okay, God said no. I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to keep what? Going where I'm going. I'm going to keep trusting him and leading and doing what he's asked me to do. The problem is that when we get frustrated and upset, do we like immediately say, oh yes, Jesus, what did you call me to do? I'm going to be busy about your business. Do we do that? No, we start throwing a what? A pity party for one. Right? You're all sad, all up in your emotions. Nobody understands me. My life is terrible. Did you get people still do that? We don't do that, but some of you do probably, oh, right? Stop it. Right? God is good, man. You're alive. You live in the land of milk and honey, guys. The fact that you're alive, we sang that song, that you have breath in your lungs is because God allows it. Amen? We take things for granted. We don't like to hear no. We want to say yes. How would you like it, sir, ma'am? This isn't your universe. It's God's, amen? And you've heard me say this before. Listen, our life is a gift from God. And we're over here pouting and mad because it didn't go, shh, quiet. Be quiet. And just do what God says, amen? So what do we have to ask ourselves, right? If our frustration, are we letting it, are we waiting, are we in a season of waiting, are we doing what God has called us to do? Or are we in a place where God has shut the door and we're now what? We're frustrated, we're mad, we're bitter, we're angry. You think that that's a good place to be? It's not. We're all unforgiving, all mad. You're at work, nobody likes to talk to you because you're like, everything comes out of your mouth is negative. You know people like that? You do, huh? Okay, if that person's sitting next to you, don't say nothing right now. Okay. Just keep praying. No. But isn't it, right? You know people like that? They're just stuck in the rut. It's negative. It's like, I used to work with a nurse like that. I think I've told you guys this story. Every time, that no matter what, it was a beautiful day. Oh, it's terrible. I hate it. I can't wait for my cigarette break. Her voice sounded like that too. She smoked a lot of cigarettes. Everything was negative with her. I would try to make her laugh. Like, that was my thing. No matter what I said, everything was negative, negative, negative. So listen, man, we got to keep praying for those people. Amen? But when God closes the door, we have to seek him out and say, God, what are you trying to teach me from this thing? Let me get busy about worshiping you. Let me get busy about the task that you have given me. I'm not going to sit and pout and moan and be all upset and bitter and mad. Because there's no fruit that comes from that. There's no fruit that comes from unforgiveness or a hardened heart or feeling sorry for yourself. I'm being honest with you guys here. There's no fruit that comes out of it. I'm not saying that we're not going to have moments, right, after God says no, that you'll go through your stages of grief. That you're going to go through the pain. You're going to go through the heartache. But trust that God is good. Get busy with the blessing that God has given you. With whatever God has put in your hand, you better start working that. Does that make sense? And sometimes we're just like, oh, my heart, and oh, I'm dying. And I'm just saying, some people do that. Does that make sense? I know, I got to take an acting class. I got to do a better job. What is God trying to teach us? What lesson are we missing? And the other thing is that, listen, when we're walking around frustrated and mad and moping and crying and all depressed, guess what else is happening? Life is passing you by. Have you ever talked to somebody that had a heartbreak or something happened to them and it's like 25 years later, 30 years later, we're still going through that same motion? It's like at some point it's like, man, you know that God has given you a gift to move on from that as well, to forgive? That the gift of forgiveness is for you? So you can dust yourself off and try again, keep living for Christ? It's a gift. But we have to take it Because when we're so stuck in our pity party, what's happening? You're missing all the other opportunities. And God is giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. How do you know? You're alive. He's not done with you. Amen? Let's keep reading. And then verse 10 says, I like what it says right here. It says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia to help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, he said, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. Amen. When they got the vision, when they got the word of God, what happened? Did they wait? Or when I'm ready, when I have enough time, if I have the finances, when I finish, that makes sense? We do that to God's plans, amen? Some of us, a lot of us, we get the calling and we get God has given you something or a word and we're like, but I'm not sure that's for me. Maybe when I'm more prepared. Maybe when I feel more comfortable. You want me to share the goodness of who you are? Let me become more versed. Let me read the Bible more. Let me get all this stuff. Forget about all that. That's just, what are those? Those are excuses, guys. God has called you to use whatever is in your hand for His glory right now. He's not going to give you a task or assignment that you're not prepared or equipped to do. Why? Because if you're already a theologian and you have your hat on and you're walking around with all your what do they call those things? Your colors and everything. Let me tell you about Jesus. That person has nothing. The people that you're around, they don't want to hear from that person. Does that make sense? They want to hear from you. They want to see this lived out. So the opportunity to build up the kingdom is right now. With whatever you have in your hand. And in your hand, you might have a broken heart. You might have your hand smashed. You might have a black eye because God closed a door on your face. But use that for the glory of God. Why? Because guess what? The people that are around you, they're going through the exact same thing. They're not living these perfect lives where we think like, I got to have it all together before I can do something for the kingdom. No, that's never going to happen. You're not Jesus. Right? Who's good but God? Jesus. Jesus is the only one who's good. But He invites us to be a part of it. So the problem is that we're missing out on the calling, we're missing out on the blessing because we're stuck in our frustration and our hurt and our pain. And God is saying, listen, I am enough. I'll make you whole. I can set you free from these things. Amen? But we have to trust Him. And so we got to know that sometimes, listen, the greatest revelation that God has for you is right in the middle of what might be the greatest distraction of your life. And I'm telling you that not just because like I'm up here and I preach from my ivory tower. I'm preaching, that's my testimony. That's my life story. And that's a lot of people's in here, their testimony. Amen? So the third fill in the blank for today is God's detours are often a kingdom opportunity. God's detours are often kingdom opportunities. Because God had detoured Paul to instead of going north to Bithynia to go, what? West. And He called them to go to an island of Greece. I don't know if you guys know that. Go throw the map up on there for me again. And so they went across, right? They're right over here to Thrace. And then they went over here to Philippi. And then they went on to Thessalonica. And then they went on to Corinth. Now, you guys should be very familiar with what those cities mean. Those are the cities where He planted what? Churches in the second part of His journey. In fact, He wrote letters to them called the epistles, right? So when you read the book of Philippians, right? It's the city and the people that live in Philippi. Not the Philippines, but Philippi. Da-dun-chin. Thessalonica, right? The book of Thessalonians. Man, you guys are so smart. The book over here in Corinth, right? Corinthians, right? He's writing it to him. See, God had a plan. Now, He would have said, what if He would have let him go over here? We would have been different kind of books. the Ancyrenithians. That doesn't roll off the tongue like the tongue like Ephesians or Philippians, right? That was for somebody else. That somebody else had to go up north. He said, no, I got you. You have to go over here. Right? And it's interesting. If you keep reading Acts and you read to chapter 17, there's one of the most amazing discourses that Paul gives is actually where? In Athens. It's an amazing discourse about how he stands up and he talks to people of faith. And he's going through the town and he says, listen, I know that you guys are religious people and you're very religious. I see names, and there's even a statue that says, to the statue of the unknown God. And Paul stands up and he says, I'm here to tell you about that God. And his name is Jesus. It's awesome, guys. Look, I'm getting goosebumps. True story. Man, you have to fall in love with the word, amen? And if you're a visual learner like I am, then use these kind of, you can geek out on these things, guys. You have access to it, but you got to fall in love with it. So, sometimes God's detour is for his kingdom. Sometimes when you're going through and you're like, man, I wish that God would not have given me the black eye. I wish that God wouldn't have put my hand right there. Sometimes it feels like God is smashing the door on your heart. That make sense? But listen, out of your greatest hurt and out of your greatest pain is going to come your greatest ministry. I'm telling you that. God is not a liar. God is awesome. He's the redeemer and the restorer of things. And then here's the reality of it is that God will use you, right, to encourage somebody, to speak truth to somebody, by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring somebody else along. Because listen, when you're going through that dark point, what did you need? You needed somebody. You needed somebody to care for you, to say, I see you, I love you, no matter what, through thick and thin, I'm going to get you through this thing. Number one, that's God. But also the church needs to do that. Does that make sense? So out of your greatest hurt and out of your greatest detour is a kingdom opportunity to be used by God for his glory. The fourth point, and we see this immediately, it's in verse 10. Because it says, after Paul had seen the vision, he didn't delay. He says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. And the fourth point is this, faith moves forward without full understanding. Faith moves forward without full understanding. Paul didn't know where he was going. You think that he said, well, God, Holy Spirit, will you give me the next vision? Who exactly am I going to reach over there? And could you tell me where to go? And what time should I go? And what should I wear? And what's going to be? And what are we going to have for lunch? And then what's going to happen after that plan? Listen, if God has told you to do it, just start walking. Right? Sometimes don't we act like kids with God? You have kids when they're like 5 years old. Why? What? What? Why? What's going to happen next? Blah, blah, blah. You guys, in your mind, you're like, be quiet, let's go. You want to grab them by the ear. I mean, by the hand. You want to grab them by the hand. Right? Yes or no? Yeah. You're like, stop asking me questions and just listen. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Amen? Can you just listen? Can you just obey? See, our life with God is that way. Sometimes we walk by faith, right? But the reality is we want to know. We want to know the full plan. I want to see every step of the way. But that's not the way faith is, right? Faith is being certain of what we hope for, right? But we can't see it. Our faith is like the flashlight. You guys have the flashlight on your phone? Right? It gives you about a solid 6, maybe 10 feet. But you use it enough to start walking, yes or no? It's helpful. Now, some of you guys, like the guys, I have this tactical flashlight, like 2 miles. It's like, what are you going to do 2 miles ahead trying to blind somebody? Blind the airplanes? I could blind an airplane if I want to. Why do you need that? Our faith is not a tactical military-grade flashlight. Our faith is like the phone, it's the one you have in your hand. You don't have to have this crazy amount of faith, but every one of us in here, most of us have a phone. And so your faith might not be like, you know, you don't understand. Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. I only have enough faith like if you had faith like a mustard seed, right? What can God do? He said, man, I would move a mountain if you had that kind of faith. So he just said, listen, just start walking. Turn on your flashlight and just take enough steps to be obedient to what God has called you to do. You don't have to have it all figured out. Just start walking. Does that make sense? Turn on your flashlight of faith. It doesn't have to be like this, again, the one that's 2 miles ahead. And get busy walking with God. One foot in front of the other. God is going to reveal the plan to you. Amen? You have to start following His instructions and He'll reveal it to you. And then you'll start to see, man, wow, thank you, God. Man, that place where I was at, that was a dark place. Thank you that you got me out of it. Thank you by faith. Thank you through the brothers and sisters. Thank you by the power of prayer that you've brought me through this place. But it starts by being obedient. And it starts by walking. Not with what your eyes, but with faith. You don't have to have full understanding. I didn't understand what God was doing in my life. None of us, and anybody says, I knew exactly what was going to happen. That person's a liar. Get out of here. I had it all figured out. Oh, I see. Bah. Get out of here. Faith moves forward without full understanding. Paul didn't know every detail, and guess what? You don't know every detail either. And we're not meant to. Isn't that kind of boring? Like, when you're like, no, everything else is going to happen. Like, my son, he's probably in here somewhere. Doesn't matter what, we go to a theme park or a movie, he always wants to look ahead. He'll tell me everything that's going to happen. To me, it's like, well, that's kind of, he enjoys that. I want to be surprised. I want to be surprised by the goodness of what God is doing in my life. I want to wake up and say, man, God, that was so good. I couldn't have planned that. My life, your life, it can be like that. I'll be honest with you. I'm not telling you guys, I'm telling you, okay, I've said this before. Jesus loves me, guys. Okay, He loves you too. And He has an awesome plan for your story. Yes or no? Then you can walk around and you can tell me, but Pastor, Jesus loves me more. And I said, that's right, He does. Because He's good, because He's writing a good story for all of us. Amen? We can trust Him with that. But I wake up sometimes and I say, God, man, I'm the most blessed man alive. I don't know if it is true or not. But it's the story that God is writing in my life, like He wants to write one in your life. That makes sense? We have to move forward without full understanding. Sometimes we get stuck because we're waiting on the certainty. Show me a sign. God, reveal it to me. You know how you know? Get busy reading your Bible. Read it out loud. You want to hear God talk to you? Read this book out loud. He'll talk to you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to make sure that we're trusting God. That we're letting go and we're letting Him lead. Closed door doesn't necessarily mean no, it just means, hey, I might have something better for you. And the reality of it is sometimes the detour is what gets you to the destination, right? The journey that you didn't know that you were on, but God had it for you. Does that make sense? We have to trust in Him. And so maybe today you're in that place where your plans have been diverted, right? Your GPS has you at a dead end. Right now, man, trust in God. Trust in His leading. He is good and He is kind and He's faithful. He's going to get you where you need to be. So, the other thing too, again, is the diversion and opportunity. And just be mindful of where God is leading you in this season of your life. Because sometimes we are going to right? The reality is, we're going to have disappointments, we're going to have failures, but listen, we're already made whole in a relationship with God. Amen? Let's pray. And then we're also going to take communion. So if you're going to be helping out with communion, I'm going to ask the youth to come up to the front. Communion, brothers, we take it here once a month. And communion is for believers. So if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're just drinking, you know, it's juice and bread. We do it to remember what He did for us on the cross. And we do this, you guys remember the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, if you guys remember, where they took a blameless lamb. This is Moses giving instructions to the Israelites to sacrifice a perfect lamb and to cover the door frames and the doorposts with the blood as a sign that the Lord would pass over those places. Now, do you guys remember in the upper room on a Thursday, it was the night before the Passover meal, when Jesus actually gave these commands. And he says he reminded the disciples to do that in remembrance what He was about to do on the cross the next day. And that's what we celebrate. So join me as we pray, and we'll pass out the communion elements. and then we'll take communion together. Amen? All right. Father God, thank you, Lord God, this morning. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes the answers to our prayers, Lord God, sometimes on this journey that we're in, Lord, the answer is no. Sometimes it may be a good door that is closed in front of us because, Lord God, you have a better door for us. You have a better plan for our life, Lord. And if that's us this morning, or maybe the answer is a bad, it might be a financial thing, it might be a health issue, it might be a relationship thing where that door has closed. Father God, we're trusting you that you're opening the right door. Father God, sometimes it's the closed door that brings us to you. Because we've been knocking on all kinds of different doors thinking that we're going to find happiness and contentment and love and joy and peace, all to find out that those doors were, there's nothing behind them. Maybe we did open the doors, but it was empty. Come to find out that, Lord God, there's only one door that needs to be opened, Lord, and it's the one where we open the door to you and allow you into our hearts. So, Lord, this morning, Lord, it's my prayer that if there's anybody here that doesn't know who you are, Lord, they would say yes. That you knock, Lord God, on the door of our hearts, Lord God. But it's for us to say yes. It's for us to say, Lord God, I'm trusting you. Yeah, I've been hurt. I've been disappointed, Lord. I don't know. I wish it hadn't come to this, but Lord God, I need you. So Father God, I'm trusting you right now. And that's you this morning. Please pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came to give your life for the forgiveness of my sins, Lord God. Make me whole. Help me to trust in you. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that I can walk through that door in confidence, full of faith. Lord, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, God, but you meet them every step of the way because you are God and you are good and you are powerful and you're merciful. So that's your prayer this morning, then. And there's nothing better than receiving the relationship with God, then receiving the Holy Spirit and peace and love and joy that comes with it. And for the rest of us, Lord, maybe we're still seeking. Maybe we're in that place of bitterness. Maybe we're still kind of frustrated, Lord. Help us to walk in faith. Help us to trust you. Help us to use that hurt, that pain, the disappointment, Lord God, to glorify the kingdom or to build it out. I know that sometimes it's tough. It is tough. But Lord, you're calling us to live a different kind of life, a life that is full of peace and of joy. So help us to surrender that to you, Lord God, to put it at your feet, and to trust and walk in faith, Lord God. And Father God, thank you again for the blessing that you've given us, Lord, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We don't take it, we don't take communion lightly, Lord God. We know what it costs, Lord God. And that's why you remind us, Lord, even as before we take communion, you tell us very clearly that we need to examine our hearts because we don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. Your word tells us that whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So we all need to examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body bring judgment upon themselves. So Father God, right now, I pray for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord God, corporately. Father, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the sins that we commit. Forgive us for the disobedience and for the sins of omission, Lord God. You called us and we're just being disobedient. Give us a heart, Lord God, that seeks you out, that is obedient in all things, Lord, that is drawing us to you. Forgive us, Lord God. But Lord God, as each one of us is praying here, Lord God, I'll stay quiet for about 30 seconds, Lord. And will you examine, Lord God, as well? Bring, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, a spirit of repentance with our brothers and sisters here in this room. And if there's something that needs to be given over to you, Lord God, pride, lust, a forgiveness, a hardened heart, Lord, help us, Lord God, to surrender that to you. Help us to repent and not only just lay it at your feet, but to turn away, Lord God, and to seek you, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you again. The gift of salvation. The gift of knowing you, Lord God. You can minister to our hearts, Lord God. And thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, so many years ago. For the forgiveness of our sins, Lord, that we can have a right relationship with you. That we can commune with you, Lord God. It truly is a gift, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord God. We deserve justice and wrath, but you give us kindness, love, and mercy instead. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity, Lord, to commune with you this morning. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, thank you again for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us, that you died a horrific death, Lord God, and you are resurrected at the right hand of the Father, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord God. Watch over us, Lord. Bless our church. Have your hand over our family, over our home. Lord, fill us with peace and joy wherever we go. And help us to walk by faith, Lord God, in full obedience to you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.